to the Hebrews corroborates this and confirms this in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 13. You see, since God is holiness, to say that he swear by himself is synonymous with saying that he swear by his holiness. His name is holy. Isaiah 57 and verse 15. God himself says, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my...
You know, I think that verse that I was just listening to, I think he's wrong on it. I'll have to look it up later, but God is his own witness, you know? God is his own witness. Let everything be established by two witnesses. Well, you got the Trinity, right?
The confidence of man, and allay all suspicion and unbelief, giving to man the fullest guarantee possible that God will not fail him, he would swear by his holiness. Now, no man could pledge himself.
I could be wrong on that, though. He said swear by his holiness.
He changes. You see, I might be living on a high spiritual level one day and on a lower spiritual level the next day. Therefore, I couldn't pledge myself by my holiness, because one day I might be more holy in my behavior than in another day. That is, I am mutable. I am changeable. On one occasion, I might hate a particular sin and speak out against that sin with all earnestness and with all sincerity and with all righteous indignation. Then at some later date, I might indulge in that very sin. And I think I have been guilty of that. And if you will search your heart and your life, I think you'll have to admit that you've been guilty of that also. Just take the matter of gossip. There have been times when I have abhorred gossip. I have listened to it with disdain, almost with holy hatred, and would say to myself, now why does that person have to talk like that about someone else? And then at another time, I've caught myself gossiping about someone. You see, I am changeable. You are changeable. Therefore, we could never pledge ourselves on the basis of our holiness. But God is always the same. God is immutable, that is, unchangeable in his essence. We are told in the Bible in James 1:17 that there is no variableness with God. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. Malachi chapter 3 and in verse 6. In all of his attributes.
So what he's probably going to end up saying, because of what Jesus did, we can claim holiness by faith in Jesus alone, you know.
However, a fallen man is inconstant. He is inconsistent. He is, as the Bible says in Genesis 49:4, unstable as water. He is not to be depended upon. Only God can be depended upon. We are not faithful, dear people. We are not reliable. We are not trustworthy. But God, always, always dependable, because in his holiness, he never changes. This attribute of God, namely his holiness, as no other attribute, is announced with a thrice repeated emphasis by the seraphim over in the sixth chapter of the book of Isaiah. We read, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Why this thrice holy statement? Why not once? Why not holy is the Lord of hosts? Well, most commentators tell us that this particular portion in Isaiah emphasizes the realization of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the triune God, or the tri-personal God, or the three persons in the one Godhead. Now, I'm not objecting to this as a suggestion. However, I believe the passage in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 3 is a rather weak text to prove the Trinity. Now, I am Trinitarian. I believe in a tri-personal God. I believe that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are co-equal and co-eternal. And all three persons in the Godhead possess all of these.
See, this is where these preachers don't go deeper into the code. So the reason he would say holy, 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 he's emphasizing that it's true. And the only reason that three and no matter where you look in reality, there's three parts always that emphasizes. You got three names, right? Emphasizes a calling or a position, right? You have your first, middle, and last name, right? And there's other situations. An egg has a shell, the yolk and the white part, whatever it's called. Anyway, so there's three parts. To really learn something, you learn in threes, but let me let him finish.
And here's that God repeated a thing three times to press and impress with the certainty or absoluteness of his holiness. Now, actually, God needs to say a thing only once, and then it is certain and absolute. At any rate, he wants us to be impressed with this all-important perfection of his nature. When we read three times that God is holy in Isaiah 6:3, God's not trying to impress himself with it. He didn't write the Bible for his information. He wrote it for our information. Now, other instances of a threefold repetition to emphasize
verily, certainty, verily, verily,
and absoluteness and importance are found in the striking prophecy where God foretells the setting aside of the royal house of David because of the wickedness of the leaders until the Messiah should come and set up his kingdom. I'm thinking now of the 21st chapter of the book of Ezekiel. Let me give you something here that God said. He said, I will overturn, overturn, overturn it. Now, why does the word overturn appear three times? God could have said, I will overturn it. That's all he would need to say. But he said, I will overturn, overturn, overturn it. Well, when he said that, by this means that there shall not be a man of David's line sitting on the throne of David until David's greater son should appear in power and glory. And that's according to Luke chapter 1, verse 32. You see, so that threefold usage of the term there is to press and impress upon us that here is a vital statement, something of tremendous importance. And then there's the threefold cry of woe in which God announces the certainty and the absoluteness of the coming judgments of the great tribulation. Remember how the messenger cried in Revelation 8:13, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Now, God could have said woe to the inhabitants of the earth. You see, but three times he is emphasizing to man the magnitude, the importance of this tremendous pronouncement. So when you read of a thrice holy God in passages such as Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 3, remember, beloved.
This is why the preachers, I've listened to 40,000 good sermons, good preachers. They don't see the code. So, you know, they sound like they're contradicting each other. Well, they're saying Isaiah is talking about the Trinity, holy, holy, holy. In Revelation, holy, holy, holy. And then they're saying, no, it's just God is pressing a point. Well, the reason he presses a point, because number the three, A, B, C, is agape. It's part of the gospel, your ABCs, right? So he's giving you the full truth when he says it three times, because the fullness is the Trinity. Now, they don't see it as a holographic truth. They see it in piecemeal. This guy says it's about just God stressing his point. This guy says, no, it's pointing to the Trinity. It's both. It's both and. It's not just one or the other. It's both. This is why the code is so important, the holographic truth. It's all connected. So when these preachers are arguing about what a passage means, it can mean both. And this is my point about seeing the code. If you see the whole holographic truth, the word holy means whole. Holy, complete. Holy, holy, holy. Wholeness, wholeness, wholeness. Healthy, healthy, healthy. Same word. That's why Jesus could heal people, because he's holy, wholeness, healthy, complete. That's why I quit listening. I mean, I like to listen to them, but they just don't get the whole pie. You know, they only see partial, and it's really sad. It would take them to the next level if they would just see the whole instead of the parts. Those two, he says, some commentators say it points to the Trinity. I don't necessarily say that. Well, why does, anytime you say something, verily, 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 whoa, 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 anytime you say something to somebody in threes, you're stressing a point, you know? You're stressing a big point. And the reason it's possible, because the foundation of reality is the Trinity. And so, that's why you say things three times. Whether that passage means it or not, it's still encoded in it. Can I get a witness? Can anybody hear me? I hope so. Because if you can hear me, you're going to the next level of doctrinal truth. Because when you see two preachers arguing, it's this, and they both are good preachers, they're usually saying the same thing, but they don't even know it. Because it can be, the color green can be green across the street in another nation or whatever. And there's different shades of green. But my point is, that's not a great example, but it's holographic. How do I explain it to somebody? It's kind of like two mathematicians come to the same conclusion but different directions. But at the root of it, there's a root formula that is, you know, basis of both of them. And so the root formula is the archetype. So the archetypes, you unfold the archetypes, you get reality. This is why the etymology is so important. If you unfold the logos, you get everything, the word. Lo and behold, G, the operating system, logos. L-O-G-L-O.G.O-S. The operating system is G, Golgotha. It is finished. It's complete. The cross. Everything's a projection from the cross. So when you see that everything flows from the source, no matter which way you slice it and dice it and turn it, it points back to the same truth. That's my point. But you have to find the root archetypes to see what I'm talking about.